I want you to take your Bible and I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I want to call your attention to one verse of Scripture. Our Lord speaking. I want to preach a textual message. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, this is what the Scripture says. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then here's the part I want you to see. This is what Jesus said. He said, lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Even until the end of the world, amen. I'm with you always. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about what does Jesus do for you and me? What does Jesus do for you and me? You know, a few months back, I was preaching in Brooklyn, New York. Now, you know, Benny Tate and New York is an oxymoron, amen? Just kind of like, it's just an oxymoron. It just don't go together, kind of like crash landing, you know, jumbo shrimp. You know, just oxymoron, Georgia football. It just don't go together, you know what I'm saying? But I was preaching there in Brooklyn, and I said to the pastor, I said, how far is Ebbetsville from here? He said, oh, it's just right over here. We were at a restaurant. He said, it's not far. It's just right over here. He said, of course, it no longer exists. He said, why would you ask about Ebbetsville? And I said, well, that's where Jackie Robinson played. I said, on April the 15th, 1947, I always had a lot of respect for Jackie Robinson because he was the first black man to play professional baseball. The first, and when he started, he encountered tons of racial slurs. He literally would get death threats. He had to stay in a different hotel than the other teammates. Had to use different restrooms than the other teammates. It was said that when Jackie Robinson would stand in the batter's box to bat, that the opposing team would take their bats and they would hold them like guns and they would point them at him while he was batting. It was said of Jackie Robinson many times when he went to play games, they would release black cats on the field. And they'd say, look, Jackie, there's your cousin. Look, Jackie, there's your brother. Now, folks, you can believe whatever you want to believe. But on many, many levels, that is very, very wrong and gross sin. No way is that pleasing to God. And Jackie Robinson said there was a game that he said I was very low. And he said even my home team started booing me. But he said we had a shortstop. He was our captain. He was a man by the name of Pee Wee Reese. And he said Pee Wee Reese, the captain of our team, walked over in that game and placed his arm around me and looked up into the stands. And he said, the people that were booing got deathly quiet. And he said, you know, Pee Wee Reese thought he saved my career. But he said, Pee Wee Reese actually probably saved my life just by putting his arm around me and being there for me. See, folks, when somebody does something for us, especially of any magnitude, we never get over it. We never get over it. There's just something about somebody doing something for us. This morning I was at the track running. I finished my run and I was going to my vehicle to go home, shower, and get ready to come to church. And a man hollered at me and he said, come here, Pastor Benny. I've got something for you. And I went to his vehicle and he had two watermelons. I thought, today's my day, amen? Today's my day. And I said, thank you so much. You know, whether it's somebody like Pee Wee Reese or somebody just giving you a couple watermelons, when somebody does something for you, folks, we don't get over it, and neither should we get over it, amen? Neither should we get over it. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude when somebody expresses kindness, love, deeds of service. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude when it comes to it. And I started thinking, folks, what does Jesus do for us? What does Jesus, what's Jesus do? What's he doing? What has Jesus done for us? And folks, I want to give you just four quick things that the Lord does. And by the way, he's done more for us than anybody else. He's done more for us than anybody. Let me tell you the first thing that the Lord does for us. He shifts our past. He shifts our past. You know, sometimes as people, we're not so forgiving. Sometimes we're very unforgiving. Sometimes we hold on to it. We think if we hold on to it, that we hold it over the other person, and somehow we're hurting the other person. As long as we don't forgive, we're just hurting the other person. But in reality, we're hurting ourselves. Because bitterness does more damage to the container in which it's stored than the object on which it's poured. It really does. And it kind of reminds me of the story of the lady that came through, and she took a pen and she busted her. She took that ink pen and she hit her husband over the head. And he said, "Well, what did you do that for?" She said, "Well, I found a piece of paper in your coat pocket, and I read it, and it said, Sara Lou. That's why I did it." He said, "Oh, honey, I was at the racetrack. Sara Lou was a horse that I bet on." About 3 days later, she came through, and she had a skillet. And she took the skillet, and she busted him on the head. I mean, just he was out of it for quite some time. And finally, when he regained consciousness, he said, "Why did you do that for? Why did you do that?" She said, "Your horse called." Now, you know what I know? You know what I know about you, and you know what I know about me? You may not have a Sara Lou, but I'll tell you what we've all got. We've got a past. I'll tell you what we've all got. We've got a past. And you know what God did for us? God took my dirty sin, and God took your dirty sin. Yes, I'm explaining it right. God took my dirty sin. God took your dirty sin, and he washed it in the red blood of Jesus Christ, and he's made us white as snow. See, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. See, I was a slave. A slave works for the family, but now I'm a son. I'm a part of the family. See, folks, I was an old creature, and Jesus didn't make me better. He made me a new creature. Because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, I was lost. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. I was a slave, but now I'm a son. I was an old creature, but now I'm a new creature. I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. I was unrighteous, but now because of Jesus Christ, I am righteous. You know what the Lord's done for me? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he shifts my past. Amen? He shifts my past. Psalms 103 verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" Psalms 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." I'll tell you what the Lord's done for me. I'll tell you what the Lord's done for you. He shifts our past. Let me tell you what else he does. He shares my present. He shares my present. See, somebody said, "Brother Benny, you're wanting people to join the church. You're wanting them to get a religion." Well, folks, I don't want anybody to get religion. I believe religion's going to send more people to hell than anything else. I believe religion's going to send more people to hell than anything else. I don't want people to have religion. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that he walks with you and he talks with you. And what he wants to do, ladies and gentlemen, he wants to share your present life. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. You know what he is? He's our partner for life. He's our partner for life. Listen, when you're down and you're discouraged, take your Bible to Deuteronomy 31 and 8 and read this verse. And the Lord he is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That make a backslid Methodist shout. Amen. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. And then when I think about Psalms 27 and 10, look what it says. When my father, well, folks, I never had a father in my life. Never had a father. Perhaps you didn't either. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Then the Lord will take me up. I was preaching in Florida a couple weeks, and I finished preaching, and I felt like I should just go down and pray for people after I preached. And a young lady came down the aisle. See, folks, you never know what other people are going through. You never know what other people are going through. You say they've got it all together, perhaps, but perhaps not. And she came down the aisle, and I was anointing people, and I was praying with people. And I said to this young lady, "Sis, what can I pray for you about?" She said, "You can pray for me, because my pastor husband 3 months ago walked out and left me. That's how you can pray for me." And folks, I don't know what's going to happen to us in our lives, but I know the Lord will never leave us. You see, the Bible, I don't want to offend anybody, but the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And that verse, Hebrews 13 and 5, that says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let me tell you what it said in the Greek. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me tell you what the Lord is. He's our partner for life. He's my plan for daily living. He's my peace and joy. He gives me purpose and meaning. A little boy said, "Mom, I'm going to go out and play ball with Jesus." She said, "Well, son, how are you going to play ball with Jesus?" "Oh," he said, "I throw the ball up and he throws it back." Let me tell you what the Lord does. Oh, he shifts my past, but he shares my present. I'm not in this by myself. You're not in this by yourself. The Lord's with you. My second cousin's got cancer, large tumor. She called me the other day and she said, "Benny, I want you to pray." I said, "Tell me about it." She said, "The tumor's doubled in size. Chemo's not working." I said, what are they going to do?" She said, "Well, you know, Benny, when the doctor told me that the tumor had doubled in size, he also told me they've released a new medication. And that new medication that I'm going to be able to take," she said, "it was just released today." And she said, "You know, I don't think that's coincidental. I don't think that's coincidental." I said, "I don't think it's coincidental either, because the Lord's interested." And let me tell you what the Lord does. He shifts our past. He shares my present. But I want to tell you something else the Lord does. He sources my power. He sources. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit," See, folks, what we need, many times, I want you to understand, folks, the Holy Spirit, it's not an energy, it's not an enthusiasm. He's a person. And he's just as much God as God is God. And he's just as much God as Jesus is God. And we need the person of the Holy Spirit. And what's happened in most churches are either a cemetery or a mental asylum. They're one extreme. They're dead or they're crazy. But the Holy Spirit is neither dead nor crazy. He is a person that we desperately need in our lives. We need him in our churches more than we need anything else. More than we need anything else. It's not in the bells, it's not in the whistles, it's not in the light, it's not in the smokes, it's not in the camera. That's not the answer, folks. The answer is the Holy Spirit. See, every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit according to Romans 8 and 9. But every Christian's not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, and listen, folks, you say, I don't like Brother Benny talking about stuff like this. Let me show this, folks. We need fresh feelings of God's presence, the Holy Spirit, more than we need anything else. You need, I need, we need the power, and the power's through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You think you can preach? You can't preach. You can't sing. You can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about this guy, Peter. This guy, Peter, that was so wonderful. This guy, Peter, he couldn't even stand up to a little girl. She said, "You're with Jesus." He said, "I don't know him." A backbone like a noodle. Like a lot of men in our culture. Not a problem in America that wouldn't be solved if men would step up and be the men that God's called them to be. Not a problem it wouldn't be solved if the men would step up and just be the godly men that God's called them to be. They said, "Pete, you're..." No, I don't know her. But what happened? What happened, folks, 50 days later when he stands before the most powerful court in Israel and says, "You killed the Christ. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You've always resisted the Holy One. What made the difference? It was the Holy Spirit." Folks, let me tell you, the only thing that's going to make any difference in my life, the only thing that's going to make difference in your life is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. In this bucket, you can't see it, but in this bucket is dirt. And I'm going to take this dirt, and I'm going to put this dirt on this rug. I'm going to put this rug. Yeah, put that dirt on that rug. Now wait. I want to ask you a question. You're a smart group. That 830 group struggled with this. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe that vacuum cleaner can get that dirt up? Wake him up. How many of you believe that vacuum cleaner can get that dirt up? Ah, that's it. Sure. Let's see what we got here. Oh, let's see. Okay, here we go. Don't tell Barbara about this. Let's see. You were wrong. It's not doing it. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I I just had to get hooked up to the power. And once I got hooked up to the power, it made all the difference. It made all. You say, wait. Now, the power, Pastor. All the power. That's the power. That's wait. It's the power. That's all we need. It's the power. That's all we need. Wait. No. The power won't get up the dirt either. The power needs the vacuum cleaner. We're laborers together with God. Without God, we cannot. But without us, He will not. Now, wait. Oh, wait just a minute. Now, let me ask you. Let me ask you, what's the dirt in your life? You've been trying to get it up, but you can't get it up on your own. What? No. Nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. No. You say, well, Pastor Benny, what's the dirt in your life? It's none of your business. But see, we've been trying to get the dirt up. We've been in all these classes, and we've been trying. But, folks, it's not in trying. It's in trusting. Through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body. Tell you something. You know what God's done for me? Oh, He shifts my past. He shares my present. He sources my power. But let me tell you the last, and I'm done. He shapes my future. He shapes my future. You say, what do you mean, Brother Benny? He shapes your future. He gives me a perspective of hope. What? Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together for good. That's a comprehensive, that's a comforting promise. Folks, that He takes the good and the bad and the ugly, and He works it for my good. Lost people don't have a worldview, but I've got a worldview, and you've got a worldview that God takes. Oh, you say, she walked out on me. Hey, God works all things. I got demoted. God works all things. I failed. God works all things. I got sick. God works all things. He gives us a perspective of hope. He gives us power over death. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I heard about this little community, and they had an accident. They had one ambulance, and it broke down. There was a guy there who had a funeral home, and he said, you're welcome to use my hearse to take the guy to the hospital. A hearse is a little different from those ambulances. You know, it's got windows on each side. And they put the guy in the hearse and started heading to the hospital. And there was three ladies in a convertible. And they drove up by that hearse. And the guy in the back of the hearse could tell that somebody was staring at him. So he just kind of looked over at those ladies and winked. Let me tell you something, folks. When you know Jesus Christ, when it comes to death, you can just wink at it. Because He gives us a perspective of hope. He gives us power over death. And according to John 14:1-3, He gives us a prepared place in heaven. He gives us a prepared place in heaven. Little boy went to sleep in the living room. Daddy picked him up, took him upstairs, and put him in his bed. The next morning, he woke up and he said, Daddy, I didn't go to sleep in my bed. He said, I know you didn't, son. But while you were asleep, I just carried you upstairs and put you in your bed. And folks, that's what God's going to do with us one day. We're going to die. And He's going to put His arms around us. and he's going to carry us to heaven. You know what Jesus does for us? I pray, I don't know if this message has encouraged anybody but me. But I'll tell you what he does. He shifts my past. He washes it away. He shares my present. Oh, yes, when I go through hard times, he's with me. He sources my power. And he shapes my future. There was no guy in Georgia by the name of Louis Grizzard. Louis Grizzard said that one day he went to an Atlanta Braves ball game with his dad. Braves are not doing too well. That new stadium didn't fix the problem. But he went to a ball game with his dad. And he said they sang the national anthem. And he said when they sang the national anthem, his daddy stood up. His daddy reared back. His daddy placed his hand on his heart. And he sang just as loud as he could. Said you could hear him for three rows behind him and three rows in front of him. And then this old man just sat down. And Louis Grizzard said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. When you stood up and you sang the national anthem as loud as you could, I want you to know something. You embarrass me. And he said, Son, I want you to know something. When you kept your seat, you embarrass me. Now listen to me very closely, and I'm done. After what the Lord's done for me, after what God's done for me, if you knew everything in my past, you probably wouldn't want to hear me preach. But the Lord said, Benny, I forgive you of all that. I've wiped the slate clean. There's been times in my life when I was at the top of the world. I was the peacock. But a few days later, I was a feather duster. I've had people I thought were true friends stab my back. But I've never had the Lord do that. I've never had the Lord do that. There's been things in my life that I tried to overcome. I couldn't overcome it. I tried. But I found that when I went to the Lord and I said, God, to the best of my ability, I just empty myself of myself. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your power. There was a strength in my life that was beyond me. There was a strength in my life that I couldn't explain. I didn't realize it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham was right. You're not prepared to live until you're prepared to die. I've tried to live for the Lord. And this is what I tell you. It pays to live for the Lord. But the retirement plan's out of this world. The Lord's done so much for me. And the Lord's done so much for you.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.